This is a podcast from Consilio. We bring people together to create better places.
Hello and welcome to Poles Apart, a new podcast from Consilio where we take a look at politics, property and planning news from across the capital. I'm Nathan Parsad-Wyatt, a former advisor for the Conservative Party.
And I'm Luke Francis, a former advisor to the Labour Party.
So Luke and I lead the London team here at Consilio, and we thought clearly there's a huge gap in the market for you to hear our industry-leading analysis.
It's what the people want.
It's what some people want.
I'm not sure that's true.
Well, definitely what we want. So yeah. Anyway, we'll be doing fortnightly episodes of this podcast, hopefully offering some insight into the big political and planning issues of the day. We'll look to book special guests from the world of politics, property, planning and business to share their views and hopefully bring you something that is at least mildly entertaining. So today, it's a big year in London, and that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the local elections in May. What's happening? Where are the battlegrounds? What the polls are saying? And what's likely to happen depending on who wins? We'll be joined later in the podcast by Damian Lyons-Lowe, Chief Executive and Founder of Servation Polling, who's going to talk us through the latest numbers.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too, actually. But first, let's look at what's actually happening.
So, voters across London's 32 boroughs are going to be going back to the polls because we haven't had enough elections in recent years, and they are going to be voting to elect 1,817 local councillors across the capital.
Quite a few.
It is a lot, but it's fewer than there were in 2018 because of boundary changes. So last time we saw these elections, there were 1,833 up for grabs, so a bit of a decrease. But yeah. We'll touch a little bit later on what those boundary changes mean. So the last time these seats were up for grabs was in 2018, as I say, and it was a great night for Labour. So they won 21 councils across London. They saw their vote share increase. This was under Sadiq Khan, as you'll remember. Mm. But it was, in many ways, not a dissimilar point in time in terms of the election cycle to where we're coming into with these elections in terms of national disquiet, some big issues leading the national headlines, and difficulties, particularly for the government at the moment.
Yeah, so I mean, in 2018, when these elections were fought, government was really unpopular. I mean, I'll definitely remember that because I was a candidate in these elections. I remember knocking on doors, unsuccessful candidate.
Me too.
Anyway, there we go.
Should just swap seats.
Something we agree on.
Yeah.
The point is that actually it's quite a similar situation to now in that, you know, unpopular Conservative Party in government and, you know, a fairly popular Labour Party hot off the heels of the, you know, sort of Corbyn wave that followed 2017. So given that, these elections are being fought in a remarkably similar context. So there's a lot of change this time, though. I mean, I think there's 18 leaders
stepping down. Yeah, so we've got 18 new leaders in councils across London. So these will be the first set of local elections they're going to be fighting. So a lot of unproven candidates, a lot of first-time candidates, and a lot of the old guard, particularly from the Labour Party, standing down at these elections. So a lot of fresh-faced candidates who probably don't know what they're in for yet.
So, I mean, we're talking about the political context, lots of new faces in both parties. Where are the expectations for both parties on this? It seems to me that the narrative has sort of set in that, you know, London is lost to the Conservative Party and there's, you know, it's as bad as it gets. I mean, what are the expectations on the Labour Party and, in your view, on the Conservative Party?
I mean, well, for the Labour Party, they are incredibly high. You know, the most recent YouGov poll had them 32 points ahead in London,
which is a huge number.
Yeah, it's enormous. It does make for good reading for your lot. But, you know, it does set a very, very high bar for Keir Starmer. It's one of the first sort of big tests for him electorally. And expectations will be very, very high. And actually, when you have that substantial a poll lead, you know, there is a danger, A, of complacency, you know, of Labour thinking that these elections are in the bag and they don't have to go out and work for those votes. But also that the expectation is so high that even a decent showing in May isn't enough to quieten the critics who think that, you know, this is a Labour city and they need to be making gains.
So that makes sense. So we've got, you know, expectations high for Labour, quite low for the Conservatives. And I suppose from a Conservative point of view, that means holding on to what they've got.
Yep.
So, you know, the very sort of few councils, if you like, that are still in Conservative control across the capital. But possibly, you know, and you know, not looking to make major gains. But for Labour, presumably that means sort of basically picking up all the marginal boroughs that are left.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, we've identified five battleground boroughs for us that we think potentially change hands in London, which actually, when you look at that poll lead, doesn't feel particularly impressive for Labour to only make sort of five gains out of the 32 boroughs. But firstly, you know, Labour control the majority of the councils already. And actually in those battleground councils, these are, you know, a lot of them are flagship Conservative councils that have never gone red.
Yeah, so let's take a look at those councils. Obviously, we've got Westminster, we've got Wandsworth, two key Conservative councils that have never been in Labour control. We've then got Barnet, which I think has went into no overall control previously, but has never been in outright Labour control.
Yep.
Clearly a top target. And we'll come to talk about the three of those and the likely outcomes in a minute. But we've also got interesting races happening in Croydon and Harrow.
Yeah, and actually these might be the two that, contrary to everything we've said so far, might be in play for the Conservatives for very different reasons. So Harrow, which is Labour-controlled, but is expected to be a hyper-marginal at these elections, and Labour are going to have to work very hard to maintain control there. I think they've got a majority of seven councillors at the moment, but a lot of those wards that used to be safe Labour wards are now looking increasingly difficult for them. So expect to see a lot of activity from the Labour side there to try and hold on to control. And then Croydon, who for the first time are going to be electing a directly elected mayor. Mm-hmm. They become the fifth local authority in London to take up that model after a referendum last year. And Val Shawcross will be up against Jason Balls. His name's not Jason Balls, is it? Is it Jason Perry?
No, I think it's Jason Perry.
Who's Jason Balls?
I don't know. Sounds like he's actually an architect for EPR.
Jason, if you're listening.
Jason, if you're listening, you've got a name check.
Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting to see whether or not, you know, potentially you have a Conservative elected mayor there with a Labour majority council, which feels like gridlock to me.
But also, is there any chance that the council in Croydon goes Conservative this time, given that, you know, Conservative campaign, from what I've seen already, is making great hay of the kind of bankruptcy claims of the Labour Party and you know, mismanagement of the council over a period of years? I don't know whether that's gaining any traction in Croydon.
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be a real sort of hill for the Labour Party to climb. You know, this is not necessarily a local authority on which the Labour Party is going to be able to stand on a track record of success. And that is about as critical as I'm willing to be on this podcast. I feel like I've got to fight the red corner. But yeah, no, that's definitely going to be the case. Come on. You're in the wrong city for that.
Yeah, well, we'll find out after.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we may be completely wrong and we may be in a Conservative city on May the 6th.
I think that's very unlikely. But coming to those Conservative boroughs that are in play, you know, in 2018, I remember, you know, there was a massive campaign to say, you know, Labour are going to take control of Westminster, going to take control of Wandsworth, take control of Barnet, and it didn't happen. But I think
you running a lot of those campaigns?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Now you bring it up. It's not that I want to run on a track record, but although I was a candidate who didn't win.
Yeah. Well, you were too busy
running the other campaigns.
Too busy
helping
everyone else. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the point is that, like, for this to look like a good night for Labour, they really need to win at least one, if not all three of those boroughs. Really. Yeah. I mean, Barnet is an interesting one. I mean, you know, back in 2018, Jeremy Corbyn was the leader of the Labour Party, very unpopular with many of the Jewish population in Barnet. And I think, you know, it would be wrong to say that didn't have an impact. It's a real test of Keir Starmer's leadership to see whether he's moved on from that. I mean, there was a by-election in Barnet not too long ago where the Conservatives held it.
Yep.
And, it, you know, in a closely sort of fought race between Labour and the Conservatives there. So it is going to be interesting. There's new boundaries. Dan Thomas over there is a new leader and brings a different energy to the campaign. So that'll definitely be one to watch.
And the other one to watch is going to be Wandsworth, right?
Yeah, Wandsworth. Always been in Conservative control since its creation. Once described by Margaret Thatcher as her favourite council. This will be, you know, a key battleground on the night. So looking back at the 2019 general election, the seat in Wandsworth was Labour's only gain of the night. So, you know, Labour will be looking to consolidate that progress. I think there is a school of thought that says that Wandsworth has been moving away from the Conservative Party for a long period of time, and it's only a matter of time before Labour take control of it. Even in the 2018 local elections, Labour actually won the popular vote here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was ward boundaries that meant that the Conservatives had a majority rather than the popular vote. However, there have been boundaries redrawn for these elections, and there are changes occurring in virtually every part of the borough.
Who do they benefit?
Well, I think, you know, again, there's different schools of thought on this. Some say that they benefit the Conservatives. Some say it creates new marginals. I think, in essence, it remains difficult to say because they're untested. I think the Conservatives privately would tell you that they're not unhappy with the way that they've been redrawn. But look, you know, it's going to be a big fight. Both parties are going to be putting a lot of energy into it. And I think, you know, in terms of planning, there's big changes to happen in Wandsworth should there be a change in administration.
Yeah.
I mean, Ravi Gavindia, the current leader, has been there for a very long time. You know, fairly pro-development, I think it's fairly safe to say. And actually, you know, welcomes investment into his borough more so than perhaps others. So, you know, depending on what happens, change of administration, could get interesting there. But clearly, for Labour to have a good night, Wandsworth needs to be on their list.
And then the one that's closest to your heart, I imagine?
Well,
Westminster.
Yeah, Westminster. I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier I stood as a candidate. It was in Westminster where I stood as a candidate in 2018. And I think...
Unsuccessfully
for me, but the Conservatives did retain control of the council, albeit with a reduced majority. I think there are boundary changes happening there. So there are two wards that disappear and the overall number of councillors goes down to 54 from 60. Labour campaign and the Conservative campaign, they're both campaigning already and have been for a while. You know, again, never been in Conservative control, but Labour will be looking to take control of Westminster for this to be considered a good night.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen just through sort of social media and anecdote that the Labour Party campaign in Westminster is going very hard on perceived council failings.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Conservative campaign in both Westminster and Wandsworth, to be honest, has been run for a very long time on record of low council tax and competence.
Yeah.
And I think things like the Marble Arch Mound being an issue...
Did you go up it?
No, I didn't get the chance, actually, and I understand it's now starting to come down. But Labour will be using that as an example to try and dent that historic track record of competence that the Conservative Party have in Westminster. And I think, you know, how successful that campaign is remains to be seen. And there are a limited number of marginal seats, but a good night for Labour, they pick up all of those marginals. Yeah. In the national swing, you know, that's anything to go by, suggests they should be in with a good shot. And
I think Labour's challenge in Westminster, but you'll know far better than me, is that their vote is so concentrated in the northern half of the borough.
Yeah.
That it's hard for them to make gains further south, right?
Yeah, I mean, and also, look, you know, in Westminster, there are very few marginals as a result of that concentration of vote. But equally, both campaign machines are very effective and both will be in overdrive seeking to take control of this. So I think, you know, what we've sort of run through in a summary is we've got Barnet, we've got Croydon, we've got Harrow, we've got Westminster and we've got Wandsworth as interesting races to watch. And I think overall the rest of London is unlikely to change hands, really. I mean, you know, so at that point, the interesting factor probably becomes internal party.
Well, yeah, it sounds incredibly boring, but, you know, the most interesting stuff is actually going to happen in the weeks following the local elections with AGMs and various sort of internal party squabblings.
We can do a special podcast on each AGM to discuss, which I'm sure will keep everybody...
I imagine they'll be lining up around the block for that one.
But anyway, so that's the brief run through.
Yep.
We're going to have an interview with Damien in a second. From polling company Surveytion to assess how likely all of this is.
Yep.
I'm delighted to say that we are now joined by founder and chief executive of Surveytion, the market research and political polling organisation, Damien Lyons-Lowe, who is going to talk us through with a lot more expertise and experience some of the stuff we've been discussing earlier on in the podcast. So welcome, Damien. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
Thank you. Now let's kick off. It is, you know, an interesting time to be involved in political polling. What's your take on what the national numbers are looking like at the minute?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. So we've seen, like, from December, we've seen an impact from Partygate in everybody's Westminster voting intention numbers. I think we started to show a Labour lead in December, and we ended up with a sort of 6-point Labour lead in January as the allegations kind of just carried on and wouldn't go away. And as with others, had seen figures as high as 43% for Labour, like a 10-point lead. The last poll we had was about 6-point lead for Labour over the Conservatives, so a little bit of pullback. But certainly, the credibility of the Prime Minister over Partygate has definitely affected his personal approval ratings a lot. Also, to a similar extent, perception of the Conservative Party, he appears to be dragging those down. And the net effect of that, well, something like 80% of people who voted Conservative in 2019 will still vote Conservative at a future general election. The figure for Labour is far superior at the moment. It's about 90%. And there's a lot of debate about what that means. So people say, well, you're much more likely to be undecided if you're a former Conservative voter. And that's the reason for the large lead that we're seeing in the polls. Mm-hmm. And people are questioning that level of undecided voters and saying, well, you know, we think those people are likely to go back to the Conservative Party for the general election.
Yeah.
And we've seen some discussion of that in the opinion methodology change, where their option to sort of say, well, what are we going to do with all these people who are undecided, but we think they're former Conservative voters, what should we do? And in a sort of surprising turn of events, they've gone to discard those undecided voters in a way that other people are doing to some extent, but then try to incorporate their absence by looking at the people who say they are going to vote and then making those people more representative of the people that voted for the party in 2019 and previous elections, resulting in a smaller Conservative lead. But I mean, I think that the jury's out as to what's the right thing to do. We've seen some polling from Redfield Wilton where they've looked at squeezing those undecided voters, and then they're not in their take particularly Conservative now. And I think if we think that Boris Johnson and Brexit and cost of living are doing potentially long term damage to the Conservative voting intention, it might be, it might not be. But if it is, you would expect to see not direct switching from con to Labour of long-term Conservative voters, but you would expect to see them being on a journey between now and the next general election. And whether that plays out or not, or whether people vote at the next general election on completely different lines, we don't know. But the job of pollsters, I think, is to try to offer snapshots of current opinion rather than try and second guess what people may or may not do in the future.
And presumably that picture's changing, you know, almost every day, every time there's a new allegation, or, you know, it reacts, you know, very much to the current events and what's happening in sort of the national media.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good news for the Conservative Party. I mean, it doesn't appear that the Conservative Party vote share is going much below the low 30s. So poll after poll showing Labour leads, the Conservative Party base vote is pretty stubborn in the low 30s. It does not appear to be going much lower than that, with a Prime Minister that has really low approval ratings at an early time in his leadership of the party. So it is of course overstated the extent to which having a popular leader makes a difference.
Yeah,
we've seen people still voting Labour in 2019, despite Jeremy Corbyn.
I remember it.
Yeah. we've seen Boris Johnson not having a high approval rating in 2019 himself.
Yeah.
It being kind of similar to Theresa May. So I think it's overstated the extent to which that the popularity of your party leader plays out in your voting intention. But I think that what's going on in the media environment is just damage to brand Tory. So anybody who's soft or has has any kind of concerns, they're kind of being cleaved away to somewhere. But of course, there's a long time between now and the next general election. There's some time to rebuild that brand.
So just sort of bringing it back to London then, obviously, you know, damage to brand Tory, at a national level, obviously, you know, Conservative brand not particularly strong in London. What's the kind of picture across the capital at the moment?
Yeah, so I had a look at, we recently do this kind of modelling called MRP, which is able to give estimates of voting intention at a constituency level. And when Labour had we last updated this when Labour had a 6-point lead over the Conservatives, so possibly in line with where we are now in recent polling. And we've got Labour on, so looking at that analysis that was done by Professor Chris Hamratty at Royal Holloway, we've got Labour on 50% vote share in London at the moment, the Conservatives on 27%, Lib Dems on 13%, Greens on 6%. Now that seems like an eye-poppingly high lead.
Yeah.
However, Labour have been doing really well in London for a long time. So, you know, I think one of the things that's coming up that we might talk about is the local elections coming up in this May. At the time of the local elections at the comparable period 4 years ago, Labour were doing exceptionally well in London. There was a YouGov poll conducted just before the 2018 May locals. Labour were on 52%, so higher than where we think Labour are now, and the Conservatives on 31% versus what we think they are now, which is at 27%. So we're at a situation where possibly Labour are at a high watermark in London. They've done so well in the post-Brexit era in London that this may be the peak of their potential.
Which is, you know, contrary to what a lot of those sort of headlines that we're seeing. You know, there's a big sort of YouGov poll out that got a lot of attention about Labour having, I think it was a 34-point lead in London. But actually, you know, doing that comparison to 2018, there needs to be some expectation management from the Labour side then potentially, because, you know, it's not great for them to be talking up their chances of, you know, making serious gains, particularly in London. If, you know, the reality of those underlying numbers is they're not in any better position than they were in 2018, when, as you say, that was a real high watermark moment for them.
Yeah, no, I think in terms of the total of council seats that Labour has in London, they're doing, it's the best ever total of seats in 50 years that they currently have. So can Labour push into, you know, can Labour push into some of those boroughs that they've failed to win over the years, like Wandsworth and Westminster? It's going to be a challenge to do better than the current position, which will be required.
So yeah, Nathan and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. We sort of identified five seats, but Wandsworth and Westminster were the two that, you know, we focused quite a bit on, because it, you know, for Labour to feel like it's been a successful night on May the 5th, you know, it feels like there have to be gains in London. This is the first sort of big electoral test for Keir Starmer. You know, we've had a few by-elections, which, you know, for their own reasons sort of have their outcomes, but this is a sort of big night for him and for Labour to be able to show that they are making progress and gaining ground after what's been a very difficult few years. They're going to have to, you know, there's be some sort of high level gains in London, but actually, yeah, the sounds of it, you know, suggests that maybe that's a little bit unrealistic.
Yeah. So in the comparable period, 2018, London boroughs accounted for 40% of all the seats that were up for election in 2018. But they were 87% of Labour's net gains.
Wow.
So almost all of the wins in 2018 were in London. So it's kind of been done. We're now trying to push into Labour's now trying to push into regions that are now not natural homes for them. So how the party shows improvement on 2018 is going to be difficult.
In fairness,
you know, a victim of its own success, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you know, these final remaining parts of the capital that Labour need to win will obviously be, you know, a big challenge, and that's going to be where the campaigning focus is going to be over the next few months. I mean, to what extent has there been any increase in a Liberal Democrat vote or a Green vote that could potentially, you know, take votes from Labour or present them with fresh challenges from the left, if you like?
In London, we're seeing some small improvement since 2018 polling. We've got the Lib Dems on 13% in London. So the only real kind of big move on a proportion basis would be that we think that the Greens have possibly doubled their vote in London. So Green Party got 3% of the vote in London in 2019 at the general election. That could be as high as 6 in our model based on large sample polling. So yeah, that's not particularly helpful for the Labour Party. They'd probably quite like that extra 3% in their column. That'll be helpful. So that might be something that Labour need to focus on at this current set of elections, is trying to squeeze out the 19% of people that we think are voting Lib Dem and Green, mm-hmm. trying to squeeze them to voting Labour from voting for what their actual first choice is.
It'll be interesting to see. Damien, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, and we'll have to do another one of these slightly nearer the election, when I'm sure there'll be a whole new raft of allegations against the Prime Minister.
We don't need to see very much movement back in the Conservatives' direction for the local elections to be a bit of a nothing burger. So,
but then, thank you so much, and we'll check in with you again before the local elections.
All right, good to speak to you, Nathan. Luke, cheers. Bye.
Well, that's all from us. Thanks for listening to the first episode of Polls Apart. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks for our second episode, where we'll be talking about regeneration in the London Borough of Brent. You can visit conciliocomms.com to find out more about us and the services we provide. But from both of us, thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.